You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast episode 515.
On Flopcast.net.
Yes, yes. Hello, Cornflake.
Hi. How are you, Kevin?
I'm fine. There's nothing going on here. This will just be a quick, goofy little show.
Well, did you have a good pie day last week?
I had a lovely pie day, March 14th. Sure. I celebrate every year. Had some pizza pie for pie day, of course. South Shore bar pie style pizza pie. That's a weird Massachusetts thing. And then for pie day, I went out on pie day to run.
Yeah.
I was going to run a 10K, which is, 6.2 miles. Then I thought, well, 10K, that's like two 5Ks,
mm-hmm.
if I'm doing the math correctly. 5K is 3.1 miles, and I thought, that's very close to pi.
Yeah.
So then I thought, instead of one 10K, I'd run two pi runs, two runs of precisely 3.14 miles.
You ran a couple of pies then.
I tracked my mileage very carefully so I'd know exactly when to stop.
So you're on that last tenth of a mile and you just have to absolutely make sure to cut it or else you have to start all over.
I'm crawling along for the last couple of hundredths of a mile just staring at my watch tracker thing,
I admire your dedication to pie, Kevin.
I'm very dedicated to pie. I stopped at exactly 3.14. I suppose I could have gone a little farther, Take it out to 3.141592, etc. It would have been an irrational run. I suppose they all are.
I was going to say, anytime I run, it's irrational, no matter how far the mileage takes me.
Yeah. Well, that's what I did anyway. And then it was back to the studio where we cooked up some South Shore bar pizza because I had to, pour all those calories right back in.
Ah. Negate the whole run.
Negate both pie runs with more pie. That was Pi Day. Happy Pi Day to us all.
That's a good Pi Day, Kevin.
But now we're back here. Pi Day is over for another year. But for now, for the rest of this super boring week, how about Cornflake National Whatever Day?
National Whatever Day!
There are a couple of stars, Kevin, that are having birthdays this coming week. Milestone birthdays. And there's a connection between the two of them. I want to see if you can figure out what it is.
Okay.
For starters, we've got Matthew Broderick, who is turning 60 on March 21st.
All right, got it.
Talking about Ferris Bueller there.
Sure. I know that guy.
Yeah.
But there's somebody else having a birthday, and there's some mysterious connection.
There is a mysterious connection. A little later on in the week, March 25th.
If it's Ali Sheedy, I've already figured out the connection.
Not even close. On March 25th, turning 75 years old, is Elton John.
Okay, and a connection to Matthew Broderick. Let's see. I've seen them both in concert. Wait, no, I haven't.
I was going to say, you might have seen Matthew Broderick in a musical. But
not yet been to a Matthew Broderick concert. Let's see. They both sang Nikita back in the 80s, right? That was a duet.
I can neither confirm nor deny that.
I'm pretty sure I'm wrong about that also.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, let's turn all the cards over. What is the bizarre connection between Matthew Broderick and Elton John?
It is a Lion King connection.
Oh, okay. I never would have gotten that.
Yes.
I know Elton John did that stupid song.
Well, he did pretty much all of the songs for The Lion King. He composed it all.
All right. What did Matt Broderick do?
He was the voice of adult Simba in The Lion King. I had no idea until now that he had anything to do with that. But he's in the movie and he's in the sequels to it as well. But he was in the original when Simba, the lion, the main character, becomes an adult. It's Matthew Broderick.
I had no idea. I saw that movie once in 1994.
I saw that movie many times more than once. That was one of the few VHS movies we owned, and it played repeatedly, Like, I would come home from school and it was already on and playing.
Wow. I'm so glad I was not in that household.
Oh, come on. You know you spend hours at a time wishing you were me as a teenager.
That is a little dream of mine, yeah. I saw Elton John in concert once. It was one of those Billy Elton combo concerts.
I figured that's how you would have seen him.
Yeah, and this must have been like 20 years ago, I'm going to say, early 2000s. But I think I'm good. I'm not going to any more Elton John shows. That was like check him off the list, you know?
Yeah, I've not been. I would go.
Elton started a farewell tour a few years ago. I'm assuming the tour was put on hold. I don't know if he's still technically on his farewell tour. Because it was like, I don't know, 5 years ago, he announced a several years long farewell tour.
Yes. Farewell Yellow Brick Road.
And Matthew Broderick, I feel like I have not seen around in a long time. I'm sure he's very busy. He does his movies. He does a lot of theater.
Yeah, he's always been one of those dual big screen and Broadway guys.
I have a thing right here from a Matthew Broderick movie.
Oh, what do you have?
And it's one that I've never seen. I was going through some piles of junk here in the studio. And I found this, like, Ziploc bag just full of buttons and pins and stuff. And I have them all right. You can probably hear me clanking them around here.
Yeah.
And a bunch of these are, like, buttons, like, promotional buttons and pins and stuff from 80s movies. And I've got one here for the mid-80s Matthew Broderick movie Lady Hawk. It says, a medieval fantasy, Lady Hawk.
Neat.
And there's a dude on a horse. I don't think I ever saw Lady Hawk.
The Lady Hawk I know of is something different. There's a New Zealand rocker, and her name is Lady Hawk. And I don't think she has anything to do with the movie.
It's one of those 80s fantasy movies that they were just cranking out back then, and I get them all mixed up. I get this one mixed up with Legend, with Tom Cruise, and several others. But yeah, here's an actual Matt Broderick button here. I have a bunch of them, though. I've got one from Goonies. It's got the skull and crossbones, and it says, "Don't ask me about Goonies." Got a Rocketeer button here. I've got one that says Free Johnny Dangerously. We were just talking about Johnny Dangerously.
We were.
Last week, were we? Yeah, because of Joe Piscopo.
Right.
We were talking about Joe Piscopo last week. That's how out of ideas we really are. Let me see. I don't know what this is. I've got one called Star Chaser, The Legend of Orym in 3D. I don't even know what that is.
You got me.
They were cranking out, like, low-budget 3D science fiction movies back then as well. And I've seen a bunch of them, but I don't think I ever saw Star Chaser. I've got Big Trouble in Little China button here. Never saw that either.
Yeah, we need to have flop movie night for that.
We were planning to watch that together someday, you and I. I've got Spaceballs button here. Mel Brooks, Spaceballs, May the Schwartz be with you. I've got one here. It just says Indy 3, as in Indiana Jones. So this button apparently came out before they named the third movie. Because this doesn't say Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. It just says Indy 3.
Yeah, nobody refers to it as Indy 3.
So you could have been like a real cool kid walking around in like 1987 wearing an Indy 3 button.
Correction, there's no way I would have been cool in 1987 even with a button. But it's nice of you to suggest that there would have been a way.
Well, you know, I don't think a kid wearing an Indy 3 button could be described as cool by any means anyway. And oh, I got at least one more. This is a nice one. I have a Splash button here. Splash, the Daryl Hannah, Tom Hanks mermaid movie. And it's lenticular. You tilt it one way and the picture changes.
Oh, I love those.
There's Tom and he's holding Daryl, like he's just holding up the mermaid in his arms. Then you tilt it a little bit, and then you've got Daryl Hannah as the mermaid just kind of sprawled on the beach.
That's neat.
Yeah, this is nice. I should wear this one.
Well, you might be too cool with a button like that. You may need to balance it out with the Indy 3 button.
I'll wear them both tomorrow. I promise. I could go on and on, because there's a zillion goofy buttons here, but let's stop. I can't take it anymore.
Wait, why do you have all these buttons?
I wish I had a good reason for owning a Ziploc bag full of 80s movie promo buttons, but I don't know. Here they are.
Kevin, that's fantastic.
Yeah, the Johnny Dangerously button. We mentioned Johnny Dangerously because Joe Piscopo was in that Julian Lennon video.
Right.
That we watched last week.
Stealing the Girl, right?
Yeah. And then we mentioned another music video, Bad Boy by Miami Sound Machine.
Right.
Because I had this vague memory of Gloria Estefan all dressed up in like cat makeup, like in the musical Cats for that video. And then I said, we might have to make a correction. Well, yes, we do, because I was wrong about that.
Whoops.
Not totally wrong, though, because I did look up the video. There's a couple of videos. For some reason, they made two completely different videos for Bad Boy. But the one I was thinking of, Gloria is not in cat makeup, but other people are. There are, like, cat people dancing all around her.
That is somehow weirder.
And then in my mind, I, you know, over the past 35 years, I changed it to Gloria's a cat. Although she's technically, she is a cat at the very end. She doesn't wear the cat makeup like in the musical. The very end, the final shot of the video, though, she's walking away and she has a tail.
Yep, that's the giveaway.
But yeah, I totally misremembered who was made up like a cat in that video. That's kind of like speaking of Daryl Hannah as the mermaid. I got the Madonna mermaid video wrong.
Right, because it was the guys dressed up. It was mermen.
We were talking about the Cherish video from Madonna several weeks ago, and I remembered it as Madonna is a mermaid, but she's not.
Nope.
Yeah, there's mer dudes flopping around in the water.
Hunky mer dudes. See, I didn't forget the mer dudes.
You remembered.
You know I did.
But anyway, how'd we get on that? Oh, I guess because of Matt Broderick. Then. Since we have nothing to talk about today, it's just as well that we had a weird diversion like that.
That's okay.
So happy birthday, Elton. Happy birthday, Matthew. That's a fine combo, national whatever day. And yeah, that's all I've done is I did my pie run and I found a bag of buttons. That's my week. Oh, I did one other thing. I remember what I did.
Oh.
I was on another Classics Track panel this week.
What's the Classics Track talking about now?
This is one that we've done before. This is, I think, round six of Battle of the Fictional Bands. This is American Sci-Fi Classics Track, is one of the tracks down at Dragon Con. But that's once a year. That's Labor Day weekend. But now we do Classics Track panels all year round online. They're live. We do them live, and then they're available after the live version on YouTube. But yeah, Battle of the Fictional Bands. They did this last year. It was last March, I believe. And they were planning to do one, and then it turned into four. They did four Battle of the Fictional Bands panels. They finally dragged me into this at Dragon Con this past year. And Battle of the Fictional Bands, you know, we're talking bands and musicians who are made up to be part of movies and TV shows and cartoons. And they do a tournament, you know, like our Flop Fight tournaments here on the Flopcast. They do a tournament of fictional bands. The one that I did at Dragon Con last year, we can reveal, I think, that the big winner at the end was Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem.
Solid choice.
Oh, yeah. As soon as they entered the tournament, everybody else was an underdog.
Yeah, it was like a steamroller.
Yeah.
That Electric Mayhem.
Who's going to beat Dr. Teeth? And now there's a Dr. Teeth series coming, right?
Yeah. Disney Plus is doing it.
I thought I heard something about that. And I feel like we can take credit for this, right? The Classics Track, that's the power of the Sci-Fi Classics Track. They won the tournament. Now they're getting their own show. That'll be good. I'll watch that.
Me too.
Anyway, this was round six, if I'm counting correctly, of Sci-Fi Classics Track Battle of the Fictional Bands. And what they did this time, to avoid a repeat victory by Dr. Teeth, they disqualified all the previous winners to ensure that there'd be a new champion.
Right, you got to give somebody else a turn. It's like the fictional bands have a Rock Hall of Fame. You can only get in once.
Yeah, so there was a new winner. I'm not going to say who it was because you can watch on YouTube. I mean, carve out some time because this took like an hour and a half. But it was crazy fun and, oh man, all kinds of... Who was in this? Like the band from Jabba the Hutt's Palace was in it. The Bugaloos got to compete.
Neat.
You know, the Bugaloos from Sid Marty Krofft, they were in this. They certainly had my full support. The Brady Kids were in this, singing and dancing all through the night. So I was certainly pulling for the Brady Kids. But there was a final winner. Did the Bradys win? Maybe. We'll have a link if you want to check out the Battle of the Fictional Bands. We haven't done a flop fight around here in a while, so I think we're going to do that pretty soon.
You gotta have a springtime flop fight.
We have a couple of flop fights in the works right now. But yeah, that's about all I've done this past week, was I went and did the Classics Track panel. Oh, and then we released a new episode of But First Let's Talk Nerdy today, actually, as we are recording. We're recording on Tuesday, and Tuesdays is when our sister podcast, But First Let's Talk Nerdy, comes out. Not every Tuesday, but an occasional Tuesday. We'll see a new episode. And this is a weird episode. They're playing Dungeons & Dragons. Actually, they're not. They're creating a character for Dungeons & Dragons.
Oh, okay.
That's the show. They're rolling dice and creating a character. Something I have not done since the mid-80s. When was the last time you played Dungeons & Dragons? Have you ever?
I didn't. I played Shadowrun. I played the techie version of the game. Well, I played Shadowrun like once, and then I played Highlander. You have a Highlander card now, so you
Yes,
know.
I know you played the Highlander card game, and now I can too. I have it right here. I'm literally holding my Highlander card right now.
Mia Peoples.
I keep it at arm's length. Yes, I'm ready to go. I've got my one Nia Peoples card.
Hang on to that card. I'm going to be cleaning my garage very soon, and I think I'm probably going to find my Highlander deck.
They're in there somewhere, and I think I'm going to win with just my Nia card.
Well, it'll be fun watching you try.
Yeah, but until we can play some Highlander, though, if you want to hear the girls over on But First Let's Talk Nerdy. Actually, not just the girls. They had a guest. They had a guest for the first time, a guest that wasn't me. And they are creating a new D&D character. If you want a podcast just with the sound of dice being rolled, this is your big chance. Check out the new episode, But First Let's Talk Nerdy, episode 67. So that's the other thing I did this week. I edited a podcast. And yeah, that's really about it around here. I warned you, Cornflake, it's been super boring here at Chickentown Studios. How about you? You got anything else, or are we ready to just get out of here and give up?
I think we should get out of here.
See, we promised you people a quick, boring, nothing show, and we delivered. You're welcome.
Well, we threw a couple of surprise twists into our boring nothing show, and I'm satisfied with that.
A couple of things accidentally happened. Sorry about that. But to prevent anything else from happening, just get us out of here.
Okay. Check out the notes for the show and all of our shows at flopcast.net, our very own website. We're also on facebook.com/flopcast, Twitter, our handle is @flopcast, and on Instagram, the_flopcast. If you are finding yourself somewhere somehow on Apple Podcasts, you could leave us a rating and or a review. We'd love that. Music for the Flopcast is written and performed by the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
Sponge Awareness Foundation, of course, best known for providing the soundtrack for Star Chaser, The Legend of Orym in 3D. That's really the only thing we ever did. Cornflake, thanks for a quick, stupid, nothing Flopcast. We'll try this again next week, and maybe something will happen. Let's all find out together. Meanwhile, everybody, please be safe, be kind, be silly, and we'll see you next week.
Peace and cookies.
We have 30 seconds to describe Thunder Talk.
We got big interviews.
Super red music.
We're proud members of the ESO Network.
Yeah, they're probably going to fire us.
I wouldn't blame them.
We've got jokes.
Adult jokes.
And nerd junk.
Woke nerd junk.
All the woke nerd junk.
Find Thunder Talk on the internet.
And the ESO Network.
Ta-da!
Cornflake, we had nothing for the real show, but I'm told you have something for the secret after show.
This is special, Kevin. This is just for our after show listeners.
Only the secret people get to learn what you're about to divulge. What you got?
Only the secret people get to hear about the gigantic porcupine. Have you heard about this?
No. Is it like right outside your house?
I wish. I do get a fair number of animals outside of our house, but a giant porcupine with a circumference of 40 feet is not on the list of things that I have seen outside of my house. But there is, right now in Los Angeles, an enormous porcupine puppet named Percy.
They have a giant puppet.
Yeah. It's ultimately going to go on to be exhibited at the San Diego Zoo. It is 40 feet in circumference. It sticks out, it's a puppet. And it sticks out of a log. And it has 2,000 quills. And it's actually really cute. You can stand right next to its mouth. Like, I'm sure you've always wanted to do that with a porcupine. I sent you a picture of this giant porcupine.
Yes. All right. Got it. I'm looking at the photo. All right. It looks like it's about to eat a lot of small children.
You know, I was wondering that. That's how it looks to me as well.
Yeah. There's a line of identically dressed children. They're about to be sacrificed.
They are just lining up to be this porcupine's meal.
All right. Well, I mean, this is cool. It's fun. I like giant, goofy things. So I approve. I've been to the zoo in San Diego. It's a fine facility. I've met the capybaras there. They're great. That said, when you told me that there was a 40-foot porcupine in Los Angeles, I've never felt a greater sense of disappointment upon hearing the word puppet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the Tee Public Store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.